We're continuing the series from Psalm 27, which we have been going through for the past few weeks. If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. It's a Psalm of David. Over the past few weeks, we have covered from the very beginning, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" David said. And he goes on to explain some of the hardships that were going on in his life when he was having a camp of the enemy army around him. And he was saying, "I will not fear, though there's an army outside." He was a military man, remember? He's a military man. He knows what battle looks like and he knows what danger looks like. And he says, "I will not fear." But instead of asking for the weaponry of his time, instead of asking for the military to be sent to that army, the first thing he asks for, "One thing I desire from the Lord, even though I'm surrounded, even though I am in deep trouble, one thing I ask for, that I may seek to see his face, that I may dwell within his house, God's house, that I may inquire in his temple." To inquire means to go and search out, to go and ask. That was his first thing. A military man, the king, with everything at his disposal, his first action is to seek the face of God. What was he seeking to find out? Usually David would go, and we see this throughout scripture, he would go and inquire of the Lord, "Should I go and fight? Should I go? Will you go with me, God, when I go?" Because he wanted a successful situation. He wanted a successful battle. If you were going for an interview, how many would want success? Okay, a few on that side. The rest of you, you don't mind. Might get a job, might not get a job, no big deal. If you were going for the job of your life, how many would want to know, "I'm going in there and I've already got this job"? Yeah, that's what David wanted. He wanted to go in knowing, "Are you with me?" Because if God was with him, he would win the battle. And time again, we see God replied, God responded. He would usually respond through the prophet in that time. That's how God spoke. Thank God in this day and age, Jesus has made himself available to us so that we can inquire directly from him and receive directly from him. We thank God for prophets. We thank God for teachers. They come to confirm what God has already spoken in our spirits. Amen? So we get to verse 13 and 14, which is right at the end. And the New King James Version reads, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have grown weary. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, "Wait on the Lord." This is David talking to himself. "Wait, David, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he, God, shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Some verses, some versions do not include that first line of "I would have fainted." And the reason being, they say that it looked like it was a manuscript written on the side, not the main body. It was like a footnote on the side. But I think it's natural of David to actually express his emotions. He was the man who would often say how he felt. So it's right that it is actually him saying, it's not a sigh, he's there, he's saying, "I would have lost heart, I would have given up." In 1 Samuel 36, we see David again speaking with emotion when he said, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke a stone in him. Instead of the Bible going straight to saying, "But David found strength in the Lord," it first tells us the situation. It first tells us that he was a human like you and I, that he was stressing, that he was wondering, "Where do I get my help from?" That he was wondering, "Do I have what it takes? Do I have that which is enough?" He was struggling with emotions. He wasn't always excited and upbeat, he did struggle. But in his struggle, he then resolved to believe in what the Lord says. So, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The land of the living refers to the world that we live in, this life, not the afterlife. So if you remember in Jesus' days, when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, Mary and Martha approached him and they said, well, Jesus said, I'm here, like I'm going to help you. But Martha said, yeah, I know you will help at the last day. So they were expecting Jesus will move at some time in the future. Yeah. So here we're being told David is expecting help, not in the last day, not in some time in the future, in the afterworld, in heaven, for example, but right now in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can we say that out loud? I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is the goodness of the Lord? That question has been circling my mind. What is the goodness of the Lord? We first find that expression in Exodus 33, when Moses, having seen all the miracles that God did in Egypt, do you remember them? The plagues, Pharaoh had to let the people go. Moses said to the Lord, show me your ways. And God said to him, I will show you my goodness. I will let my goodness pass you. What is the goodness of the Lord? What did he see? I wondered. What did it look like? Yeah. And as I was trying to grasp this, it is all of good that is in God. And I think when we read the Bible, we forget that it was not word for word. Some things are trying to capture something that is very difficult to describe. And I got an example. How many have ever had a fizzy drink? Most of the room? Okay. You know when you have a fizzy drink, that first gulp, yeah? How would you describe that? Fizzy. But fizzy is the drink. So is it fizzy in you? Gassy. But gassy is over here. But it's over here. It's itchy, it's scratchy, it's good, it's Do you understand? We're struggling to describe this feeling, but we know it. But it's very difficult to capture and explain to you. But you know what I mean. We've both experienced it. The goodness of the Lord. When we read through the Bible, which actually about 40 times we see the goodness of the Lord described, it seems to be something that captures all of these good things, good nature, good character, goodness in God. And Moses was told, you can't even see all of it. You can't see my face. You can't see the full measure of it. You'll see the tail end of it because you cannot handle. You cannot handle. Now, we go to David. What was the goodness of the Lord for David? For a man who is about to face the army of the enemy camp. Surely the goodness is to be saved, right? The goodness is God's help. I think the goodness is salvation, which we see right at the start. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And right at the end, David reassures himself, and I will see that. That which I spoke about right at the start, that which I've had experience of before, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the Lord in this matter. I want to ask you this evening, do you just want the prayer answered, whatever prayer you have been asking the Lord, or do you want to see the Lord in that? Do you want to see, here you are, you've been wanting that degree, here you go, or do you want to see God with you? Do you want to see God in that situation? Do you want to see your child come back home, or do you want to see God within your child coming back home? So David was saying that it's not the victory from the enemy's army that I'm going to see, but it's the Lord that I'm going to see in this situation. And we're being encouraged today, as we seek the Lord, as we seek his face, let us seek to see him, not just what he can give. So I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 is where we're going to labor on for the rest of this evening. Wait on the Lord. I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because of that, because I have had that belief, because I have come to that conclusion, I will wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does it mean to wait? Another question. Anyone ever waited at the bus stop? Anyone ever waited at the train station? Anyone ever waited for the spouse to get ready so that you can go to that meeting? No. Waiting. Waiting doesn't mean you stand still and do nothing, does it? It just means that you stay in that location or in that position until there's a release to do that which is next. When we look at the dictionary, it always helps us with this kind of things. It says, stay where one is or delay action until a particular time of or event. A classic example of waiting is in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus tells his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So what did the disciples do? Do you remember? They went to the upper room. They were praying. And they were selecting another disciple to fulfill scripture. It was not inactivity. It was not doing nothing. It was actually doing something God-related whilst waiting for that which they were told, which they didn't know at the time. We now know it was the power of God with great manifestation. So when David is saying, wait on the Lord, he's not saying, do nothing. He's saying that which he has been praying for, he's now going to wait for the Lord's fulfillment of it. Why does he say it twice? Wait on the Lord, and I say again, wait. The second wait, as you look at different scripture, it says wait patiently. It's as if in the first part, as he was waiting and as he was seeking God's face, he got a revelation that made him wait even more earnestly and more intently. Are we together? If we go to the book of Luke, let's turn there together. Luke chapter 18. Jesus is giving a parable. We're only going to read a couple of verses. Jesus says, then he spoke to them a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart and not faint and not grow weary. Verse 6, then the Lord says, Jesus saying, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night? I give this example to show us the concept of waiting. Because waiting is actually also called prayer. One of the ways of waiting is praying. It's communicating with God. It's fellowshipping with God. It's inquiring of God and staying in that place until there's a change. Until there's a change. That's why the title of the message is Waiting Until. We wait until his goodness is revealed in that situation. So what situation are you thinking about as I say situation? What problem? What challenge? What's the next venture? What is it you've been asking God to help you with for years? And you've even forgotten how to pray about that. What is it that you've been asking God to do urgently? And it seems like, am I praying the right thing? Am I using the right words? Do I need to change language? Because what's not connecting here? Wait on the Lord. I remember after graduating. Can I share a story? After graduating, I had a first job in London. And after 2 years, I didn't want to continue in London. And I also felt in my sense, in my spirit, not content to just take any job. So I began waiting. And I remember feeling in my spirit, wait. Four-letter word, so small. But it's like, can you give me something else? Wait. So I'm waiting, not working at that time. Waiting. couple of months pass by and I'm like, okay, this is not sitting right anymore now. Lord, what does waiting mean? And I remember taking a job that was a care assistant. And I took the job as a care assistant to work for a lady who was very, very, very slow. Somebody say slow. Slow. The kind of slow like I would have got to that door and back before my lovely lady got to the chair in front of us. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're hurting me. Like, come on, I've got all this energy, all this speed, all this excitement. And I'd feel in my spirit, I was learning patience. I was learning to wait because God's answer, God's presence, God's peace was more important to me than a high-end paying job. It was more important to me than a great location. I needed to know his presence where I go. And so I waited. I waited and I'm thinking, I have a whole degree to me. And it's not in what I'm doing right now. But the answer was to wait. But when the time came, I think it was a year later, a year of learning to walk slowly. There's no other way. You're not going to walk fast if you're looking after somebody who's walking slowly. You learn to walk slowly. After a year of learning to talk slowly, that same person had a daughter who connected me to the next job. A whole year, they knew the job, by the way, but we just never clicked. Oh yeah, I could actually work there. Waiting. The first step was to wait and hear what the Lord was saying. And then once I got that peace in my heart that he's in this, the reason that I told you that first wait was because that gave me the assurance that he's with me. Yes, I'm not where I'm meant to be, where I think I'm meant to be, but he's with me. That caused me to seek more earnestly, to search out what is it you want me to learn in this season that you have created a waiting period. And so by the time we got to the next stage, a year later, there was a deeper awareness of the presence of God than I had before, a deeper appreciation of the ways of God than I had before. But if I had just received the answer to my prayer, another job, I would not have had the experience, do we agree? And I would not have had the character, do we agree? What are you waiting on? What is it that you want God to do and you want him to do fast? Come on, Lord, hurry up. Can't you see I'm growing old? Can't you see my kids are grown? Can't you see I'm getting gray hair? Come on, Lord, where are you? And the Lord is saying, wait. I felt like I got the verse where everyone is waiting, right? Okay, come on, give us the grand finale, the good conclusion. And I come and I say, wait. Because the answer will come. God will break through. God will open the Red Sea. We will see the goodness of the Lord. That's assured. But just hang around him. Just stay close to him. Just keep listening to him. Just keep knowing, getting to know his voice. Sometimes we can get discouraged in that place of waiting. I want to encourage you this evening. Bring your discouragement to the Lord. It's going to be too heavy a burden to carry and keep waiting. Sometimes we get upset with God. Have we been there? I remember one time I was like, God, you tell me to wait again? Again? Have I not waited already again and again? Sometimes we get upset with God. I want to invite you this evening. Bring it to him. Make peace with God. Forgive God. Dr. Artie Kendall talked about forgiving God in one of his sermons. Forgive God. Not because he gets anything out of it, but because we need to. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, David. You have an army around you, but be of good courage. Do you remember those words? We had those words in the times of Joshua. When again, Joshua, a young man, has seen the promises of God, the blessings of God, rather, I should say. And now he's at the Red Sea. And Moses dies. And Joshua's like, well, Lord, who is going to take us? And the Lord tells him, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But to you, be of good courage. Be strengthened. I will be with you. The situation might not change tonight, but God is reminding us that He is with us. That is the greatest gift that we have. I'm going to repeat that again. The situation might not change tonight. You might be having a really hard situation, and it's not going to change tonight. But the Lord wants you to know that He is with you. And if you could understand and accept that, it's going to be so much easier because you will receive His strength. You won't have to do it in your strength. We will not have to do it in our strength. We'll do it in His strength. Praise God. Somebody speak to themselves and say, wait. Call yourself. Lily's, wait. Joshua, Stephen, Mary, wait. Wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. We have the carpet out tonight because at the end of this, I'm going to invite you not to be prayed for, but to wait on the Lord for a moment. To bring whatever it is that you've been waiting and just say, Lord, I've been tired, I've been weary, I've been discouraged, and I bring all that before you because I just want your strength for this journey. We're meant to sing in the rain. We're not meant to be grumpy in the rain. Do you know that? We're singing in the rain. Do you know that song? Yeah, we're not meant to be miserable in the rain. We're not meant to be going through hardships and the world is looking at us thinking, where is your God? Because the world will go through the storms just like we will. Jesus gave the parable of the house that was built upon the rock and the house that was built upon the sand. Both of them experienced storms. Both of them experienced the wind. The world, just like us, we'll experience the wind, we'll experience the storm. But the difference is we're meant to be strengthened in the storm. We're meant to come out joyful. We're meant to be joyful in the storm. We're meant to show the world that there is a hope that's not based on self. It's based on something greater. Wait on the Lord. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. So how do we wait? I asked myself. How do we wait? We find in that very chapter, chapter 27, right at the start, David talks about beholding the beauty of the Lord. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The house of the Lord was His presence. The house of the Lord was His tabernacle. What did the tabernacle look like? The tabernacle had the outer court. Do you remember that? In the book of Exodus. And it had the inner court. Their tents. Three things in that tent. The bread, the altar, and the incense. The bread, the altar, and the lamp. The bread represents the Word of God. We wait in that space by reading the Word of God. If you're earnestly saying, I want to know the Lord in this situation, be encouraged to go back to His Word. Eat His Word. Even if you're not getting for your specific situation, eat His Word. How do I eat His Word? Don't eat your book. Don't eat your Bible. Read the Bible every day like you do food. Secondly, the altar, worship. Worship the Lord because of who He is. Lord, I bless You. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I exalt You. You are great. You are awesome. You are wonderful. It's not because of what He has done, maybe in the past, yes, but because of who He is. And the lamp is the Holy Spirit's lighting. As we do these two things, the Holy Spirit is the one who lights up that space so that we begin to see clearly. Amen? Psalm 25:5 says, "Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. On You I wait all the day." So how long are we going to wait for? We are home. Hallelujah. We're going to wait all the day. We're going to wait day and night. We're going to wait until we see the goodness of the Lord, because where else are we going otherwise? It's either we do it our way or we do it His way. And only His way is going to produce life and life more abundantly. Pastor Claudette, as she was praying, she reminded us of Jesus saying, "Man shall not live on bread alone." Waiting on the Lord is us saying, "I cannot live on the natural alone. I cannot live on experience alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I've got to hear God in order for me to move past this place of waiting. I've got to hear God." So I will wait in the morning, I will wait in the evening, I will wait all the time. We see Jesus waiting. As we conclude this evening, we see Jesus waiting. In Gethsemane, when He knows He's going to be crucified, He's been telling His disciples this for a while. They've not been understanding it. And He tells them, "Let's go and pray." And in that place of prayer, He is agonizing. I think He would have quoted verse 13 and 14. I think Jesus as man, because remember He was fully man, would have said, "I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord." Why would He faint? Because He's wearing flesh and blood. But He will not faint because He has heard the voice of the Father. And because of that, He waited until He died on the cross. And then there's another 3 days of inactivity where it looks like all hope is gone. But on the third day, He rises again. Praise God. Our waiting will come to an end. Our waiting will result in seeing the goodness of God. And we know this because the one in whom we have believed waited until He saw the goodness of God. And so we will also see the goodness of the Lord. Amen.